All right, welcome to episode 31 of the Tag Teamers podcast. Monday Night Raw was last night. A lot to go over from the show. A ton of stuff happened. Pretty much every segment was at least worth something. Almost. What do you want to start it off with?
Let's talk Punk first. Where do you stand? He refers to himself as the Taylor Swift for men. What do you think of that statement?
I think that's fair. I think he's my Taylor Swift of the WWE. What about you?
Maybe used to be, but right now I feel like he's coasting. I think he's kind of phoned it in.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think he's just been really relying on how much of a babyface he is and how much everybody clamored for him for the past decade. And it's just week in, week out. That's kind of what he's just trying to get a cheap pop, cheap everything, really, with that. He tried to use the fans in order to attempt to add some meaning to the bracelet, saying, you know, how important the fans are. It's a fan-made bracelet, this and that. I imagine that didn't do a whole lot for you.
No. I mean, my concern is we got 10 years of feuds sitting right in his hand.
What do you mean?
I mean, this bracelet that's going on now. Now he's got 20 plus bracelets.
Yeah. You know? Right. I'm with you. I mean, I love CM Punk, but this segment was lame. I think the last few of his have been pretty boring. He just wants to come out and have his name chanted and say some bland lines, and that's about it. Other than that, I mean, I don't really know. Like, this was definitely the most boring CM Punk segment, I think, since he's been back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not calling him CM Punk until he cuts a promo of fire. He's PG Punk from here on out. That's what he is to me. Until he starts saying something of substance, I cannot keep doing week after week just standing around waiting for the crowd to chant, just relying on being over. I want you to tell a story. And especially the story is supposed to be this blood feud. And, you know, we've been building it for months and months and months. And then here we are, you know, he's talking about being Taylor Swift and got the bracelets and things like that. It's just these two have had such an issue for months. And then they're both just standing right there. You know, Drew at top of the ramp, Punk in the ring. They don't even try to fight each other.
Yeah. I don't think we're getting, you know, like we're never getting the old CM Punk back. I mean, it's just once you make it to the point that he's at, you know, he can't recreate that version of himself ever again. That's for sure. But I mean, he can. You know, he can do a whole lot better than he's been doing.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's something to be said. The anger is what made the pipe bomb. That's what made him as ruthless on the mic as he is. And I'm not looking for, you know, the anger because he seems to be in a good place. He seems happy to be back. But I just want something more than what he's been giving us because he's definitely capable of still cutting real promos. But I just don't feel like that's what he's doing. I don't feel like he's – when I watch him now, I don't feel like he's cutting a promo, which used to be a good thing with him because it was almost like he was talking from, you know, where he really felt in real life. But now he's – I mean, he's grateful to be back, and sure, that's good, but I need character. I need the character to feel something, not just – the actual person off screen. And I feel like he's just blurring the lines too much and he's just expressing how happy he is to be there.
Yeah, it just feels like an appreciation ceremony every single time out there. And yeah, I mean, he just needs to become a unique new version of himself. Like, you know, he doesn't need to be the old CM Punk. But something other than this, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm at. I mean, we got the strap match official. I mean, that's supposed to be a ruthless match. You know, that's kind of the point. They're going to be whipping each other with a strap. I feel like the intensity level should have been higher in this segment.
Yeah. And I think the match will be great for what it's worth. I totally expect it to be a good match. And I don't think CM Punk is coasting as far as in ring. It's just for whatever reason. I don't know why. He apparently just has no ambition to cut a real promo.
Which is ironic, because if anything, he should maybe consider coasting in the ring, because that's where all the injuries keep happening. That's what keeps doing.
Yeah.
Maybe dial back there and turn the promo up, because at the end of the day, that's why everybody loves CM Punk anyways. Sure, he's a good in-ring worker, but it's always been his mouth that got him to that next level, and that's what we want from him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then during the strap match, I mean, they said they're doing one of the ones where, because there's been variations of strap matches over the years, they're doing the one where you have to touch all four corners to win. I like that. I like that kind of version of the strap match better than just a, you know, pin each other but attached to a strap the whole time.
Do you have to touch, like, it can be all four at any point, or does it have to be right in a row?
It's supposed to be in a row, give or take a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Like the point is like, if Drew touches two, but then he starts wrestling again, it resets, you know? So,
okay.
But like, yeah, you know, like we've seen in the past where like you can touch three, the guy runs over to stop you, you lay him out, then you go hit the fourth, you know, that can and probably will right. happen.
Okay. All right. Anything else to say about that one, about that segment?
No.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, you know, we only have as much to say about it as we did because of who was in it. Otherwise, it was a complete nothing burger, really.
Yeah. No, I agree. You want to talk Gunther Orton next?
Yeah. I thought the opening segment, it was a step up from what they'd been doing, I think. I don't even remember what was said at this point, but I just remember thinking as I was watching it that it was definitely a step up. I just thought the energy was better. I had the thought of, like, I just felt like the things Gunther was saying, they weren't stupid and nonsensical this week. I felt like whether it was him or whoever writes his promos, whatever, I don't know. It just seemed like more thought was put into it. So I thought he did a much better job. And then Orton, you know, it was fine. So I thought the segment was a step up from the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it was better. It seemed like Gunther was starting to settle in a little more. I mean, he still referred to Orton as an underachiever, which still, yeah. You know, it's like that stuff could be left in the past. But yeah, I think that this did good. We saw Kaiser align himself back with Gunther, which, you know, those two haven't really been interacting much over the last few months. So I'm happy to see them back together as well.
Yep. You want to tie in the Orton match at the end as well?
Yeah.
I mean, beats Kaiser, and then we get a little brawl at the end. So yeah, I mean, overall, I thought this helped the match. I thought it helped the match for sure. Whereas the last couple of weeks didn't really do much of anything.
Yeah, it's starting to feel like a world title match now. I think they did a good job here. Kaiser, he had a great performance too. I mean, he's special. He's definitely a main event player in the future, I think. I think this match really showcased it. I'm glad he's getting to, that's part of the reason I'm glad he's back with Gunther, is because, yeah, he'll eat these losses, you know, building up to Gunther's title matches or whatever, but it gets him in the ring with, you know, main event guys like Orton, and I think it showcased him well. That backdrop that Orton does on the announce table, I mean, he hit Kaiser with that 3-4 times. That's brutal.
Yeah, he's one of the few people where he has enough of everything else to make it so, like, the fact that he's not a bigger guy, he can get away with that, and he could still be a WWE champion.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think if he continues to grow, I mean, he definitely should be. He's got all the tools. He's got a great look. I love him on the mic as well.
Yep, great look, good gimmick, can talk.
Yeah.
Has everything.
I mean, so far, I would say, I mean, Gunther, Orton, way better build than any other title match coming up. Like, it's better than Cody and Owens.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So good on them for that.
Yeah, I mean, who's better, Kaiser or Gunther?
Honestly, I kind of think Kaiser's better.
Yeah, I do too.
I think he's just a little more smooth. I mean, he's on the mic, he blows Gunther out of the water. The mic's not even close. And in the ring, I mean, he's really good too. I mean, Gunther, his matches sometimes are a little more memorable. I mean, the chops, you can't forget the chops. Like, when you watch those chops, it really makes you pay attention, you know, especially because the wounds start to show on people's chests and the blood and things like that. But, like, just pure worker, like, I feel like Kaiser's better than Gunther.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. What do you want to talk next?
We have, I mean, Sheamus Pete Dunne came up right after that.
Yeah, we could
talk after the opening segment.
Yep.
Yeah, Sheamus Pete Dunne. I thought, I mean, it's a good match. This rivalry is growing on me. It was pretty much a snooze fest to me for a while, but I'm starting to like it now. I think Pete Dunne's showing out a little bit, and, you know, everybody loves Sheamus. I think this is just a good, you know, it's not for a mid-card title, but just a, you know, a mid-card level rivalry we got going on to fill some time on Raw.
Yeah. I mean, Sheamus promised a banger. I think he delivered. I thought the match was pretty good. I like Pete Dunne quite a bit. Obviously, Sheamus can still go. I was happy Sheamus got the win, too.
Yeah, me too.
I want to see a real feud with Bron Breakker and Sheamus.
I think it'd be would be great.
That's the kind of thing I'm hoping for. I mean, obviously we get the Bron Breakker announces that an Intercontinental tournament is kicking off next week. I hope Sheamus is in it and wins.
Yeah. You want to touch on the Bron Breakker backstage segment real quick?
Yeah.
While we're on it. You know, what's perfect about Bron Breakker and his gimmick is I truly can't tell when he's fucking up his lines versus like just he's being Bron Breakker. I can't tell if it's intentional or if he's messing up. I really can't because, you know, he's like a jock meathead. And so when he stumbles or something, I truly don't know if that was supposed to be that way or if he messed up. And even if he did mess up, it still ends up being perfect. So yeah. He just has like this like foolproof gimmick where it doesn't matter if he messes up because he's supposed to be mentally kind of dumb.
I mean, Scott Steiner made a lot of money cutting promos like that. You know, a lot of the stuff he said didn't make sense, but it was funny and it worked, you know? So I think that's kind of just what it is, you know? I don't know if it is intentional and he's just paying homage a lot of the times to Scott or if it just runs in the blood, and that's just kind of how those boys think.
Yeah. It is incredible how similar they are, how similar they sound, the way they talk, everything. It's crazy. But, yeah, because he messed up or stuttered a couple times, and I was like, man, this is just perfect because he's not any worse off for it. I have no clue whether it's by design or not.
Yeah. But, I mean, think of the Steiner math promo. You know, like that thing made no sense at all, but it just worked.
And it was the best thing he ever did.
Exactly. You know, and the math didn't make sense, but in Scott's own way, he made it work. And I think that's kind of what Bron Breakker has in him is that same kind of thing.
Yeah. So what are we getting? A tournament? Yeah, tournament to contend for the title? Okay.
Yeah.
When is that supposed to start?
It starts next week. The only person confirmed right now, Jey Uso.
Okay.
You got an early pick? I mean, without knowing the field?
I hadn't thought about it at all. I don't want to take 2 minutes to think about it. It's not going to be Jay, though. Well, I guess I was just thinking about who could actually win it. But, like, Jay's not going to beat Bron Breakker for it. I could see him winning the tournament.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty wide open. It could be anybody.
Yeah, and I mean the story's already there with Jay, you know, being friends with Sammy and whatnot. You know, if
Yeah.
he worked himself to the Intercontinental Championship, I think that'd be a good win for Braun Breaker. So I definitely think Jay's a possibility of winning the thing.
Yeah. Sammy loses to Braun, Jay loses to Braun, then they pack their bags, go to SmackDown, maybe.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. That makes sense to me.
Yep.
Uncle Howdy. Next.
Yeah. Uncle Howdy. I'm pretty over it. I'm pretty over it already. It's just the same thing every single time. We have made very little progress in a pretty decent timeline. We've been at this thing for a while now, and we're just doing the same thing. We got the one match, and now we're just taking a step backwards to what we were doing before. I think it's a waste of Chad Gable right now. I think he's arguably, honestly, he could be the best character on Raw. Him and Dominic. I think that's a fair assessment. And he's just being kind of wasted, in my opinion, by, just being involved with the Wyatt Six. Because he's kind of just handcuffed. He can only do two different things, just play scared, and that's about it.
Yeah, and I think part of the issue is with American Made being a new faction, they haven't even told the story of them being a faction yet. You know, it's just like, yeah, he needed the Creeds for backup, but then they just lost to the Wyatt Six. He's still scared. It didn't actually elevate him or put him in a better spot. It's just the same thing. Yeah, he's got the backup, but he's still scared. He's still getting attacked. I mean, the lights cutting out and the way that they do it, I'm over it too. Same thing, you know, week after week. Not a whole lot going on there. I would love to see after next week. I mean, we got the one-on-one match confirmed, Uncle Howdy versus Chad Gable. I'm surprised that didn't make the Bash in Berlin card, but after that match, I mean, I'm hoping we move in a different direction.
Yeah. That can't be a good sign, right? That they don't even want to put that on the Bash in Berlin card.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was interesting. I don't know why they didn't do it. I don't know if they just don't think Uncle Howdy slash Bo Dallas belongs on the PLEs yet. I'm really not sure why they went that direction.
Yeah. He's probably just a terrible wrestler,
Yeah,
if I
I
had to
mean,
guess. I mean,
we only have four matches confirmed for the PLE, so you have to imagine another match is gonna get added. And you know, it's not like the card's already full and there's no space for it. There's still that open slot right now, and they still chose not to put it on there, which, yeah, it's probably not a good sign. And I hope that this doesn't really, you know, bring Gable down overall.
yeah. Do you think this has already started to lose steam among the WWE universe, or is it just us?
I mean, the audience pops in person. You know, like they do pop every time it happens. But I feel like that's kind of natural in wrestling. Once the lights kind of go off and the supernatural happens, I feel like it usually garners a reaction regardless. But yeah, I feel like some of the WWE universe is probably in the same boat as us, is, you know, there's not much happening. The VHS tapes have kind of been a dud as of late. And yeah, we just watched them do this already. I mean, I've watched them beat down Chad Gable how many times now?
Yeah.
Same
Chad
thing.
Gable just looking confused and scared in the ring, like, where are they? Where are they? And it's like we don't need to see it 20 weeks in a row. We just don't.
No,
And
I mean.
I've been saying the past month, this is the sort of thing that will just fall off a cliff really quickly if it's not handled correctly. And I just don't think, the people who actually make up the Wyatt Six, they're not great wrestlers. So it's just hard. It's hard to see how it can sustain itself.
Yeah, I mean, on Raw, we get this every week just about. the Wyatt Six beats down Gable. I turn on SmackDown. I get the Bloodline beats down somebody. On Raw, we get the feud over a bracelet. On SmackDown, we get it over a necklace. It's just a lot of the stuff I don't like is happening on both shows, making me not like it even more.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I'm sick of seeing just this beatdown over and over and over. There's not a story being told.
Yeah. Like, I don't want the Wyatt Six on TV. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't like them. Like, they have never done really anything for me. I thought, you know, the tag match, like I said, I thought that went as well as it could have. I liked that match. But, you know, then their next move is to just go right back to what they were doing before to build themselves up to us finally getting to see them in the ring. Yeah. So, I don't know. I think they, you know, they very well could be off TV in a matter of 6 months or less.
I think they're going to do everything that they can to put these guys in a good position. I think they view this as paying tribute to Bray. So I think they're going to really try what they can with these guys. But I hope they don't hold on too long, because they're not telling a good story to me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're putting them in a good position. I mean, they're trying to put them on TV as much as possible. So in that sense, you could say it's a good position, but they're not doing a good job with the booking.
You give Gable any chance of winning?
Yeah, I do, actually. I do.
You do.
Not in some straightforward fashion, but I actually do. And I hope he does.
Yeah, I hope so too, I mean, but that'd be crazy if all this time of building up Uncle Howdy loses his first match.
Yeah. I don't know. I can see it, though. I can see it. I mean, they beat him down. They beat him down that one time in the ring. I feel like...
Well, as Bo, not as Uncle
I know,
Howdy.
Yeah. Right.
And Uncle Howdy's the one wrestling.
You know, can he switch from Uncle Howdy to Bo in match? Is that possible?
I mean, in this land, anything's possible, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Is it possible, I say? Yeah, I don't know. I could see some sort of sympathetic loss occurring. But Chad Gable's not the favorite.
No, absolutely not. I like the American Made logo. I thought that was cool. But what I didn't like was the slogan. When they all put their hands together and then screamed American Made. I could do without that.
Really? What don't you like about it? Just seems kind of childish.
Yeah, I want Gable to be serious. I take him as a legitimate threat, and I want him to be portrayed that way.
Yeah. And he's the type of guy where he's always going to have an element of comedy and silliness to him, no matter how serious he truly tries to be. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't need to try to be silly at all. That's not going to do him any favors. I think that's going to work against him, because it's just, like you said, it's going to make us take him less seriously. Whereas, you know, Kurt Angle, obviously, the comparisons, of course, but, you know, even when he's being serious, it's still funny.
Yeah, right. And that's what I want with Gable, is just to naturally be funny. And like I just don't really see you holding a world title when you're doing the hands together and screaming American Made.
Yeah.
And it's not intimidating either, you know, it's just kind of goofy. What else? Bronson Reed, Miz?
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, Bronson beats Miz, as we expected. And then going to go for the Tsunami. Braun Strowman comes out. I thought this was great. I'm glad they did this. It's good for him to meet his match, finally. I think this could be a great, great rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, these are two big boys that are going to go after it. And I think this could be a lot of fun, yeah. I mean, even this match was pretty good. The Miz versus Bronson Reed, that was pretty good. I'm excited for Bronson Reed versus Braun. If that made the PLE, I would have been happy with that. We're getting it next week. I'm good with that. Who do you think's winning that one, the first one at least? Because I would imagine they're going to go have a couple.
Bronson Reed.
He's got to, I think.
Yeah.
And that's a good win. I mean, Braun Strowman's not jobbing to anybody.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good, though. Just Clash of the Titans. I think it's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, that's what wrestling was built on. Two true heavyweights going at it.
Do you like when... Like how Braun came out and confronted him, and it's just after like 5 seconds cuts.
Not necessarily. I didn't really have an issue with this one though. But yeah, normally no.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. They don't have to brawl or anything, so it's like, what else do I really expect them to do other than that?
Yeah.
But something about it just didn't annoy me. But I mean, I guess it just left me wanting more, which is good.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, if this match main events Raw, I mean, we might get one of the ring break segments, you know, when they do that, like when the Big Show got suplexed off the top rope by Brock and the ring falls apart.
Yeah, yeah.
If this main events, I wouldn't rule them doing that out.
Yeah, I think this could be a killer rivalry. I really do. I'm very optimistic about this.
Yeah, me too. I'm not sure it will main event. I guess I would have to assume Uncle Howdy versus Gable would.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful. I hope the ring breaks. I hope they do that during this this feud at least at one point.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of spots that involve their size.
Yeah, as it should.
Right, yeah, of course. What else we have here? Okay, so just the Judgment Day. That's all we got left.
Okay.
Or, well, we can talk about the New Day if you want.
Yeah, let's do it. Sure.
All right. New Day. I know you said last week you think Odyssey Jones has world champ potential. I strongly disagree. I strongly disagree even more after tonight. Just don't think any world champ should be looking the way he does. I think he's good as a Big E replacement. I think that works. What did you think of what they did tonight?
I liked it. I like the story of Woods kind of not being on the same page with Kofi. I like that he brought it to his attention because we're all thinking it that Odyssey Jones is here to replace Big E. I'm glad that they made note of that. In the backstage. But if Woods doesn't end up turning on Kofi here, I don't really know what the point was of all this. But yeah, I mean, I think this is another good showing by Odyssey Jones. I think he's great. I really do.
I think he's good for what he is. I think he should stay right where he is. And I'll be able to enjoy him that way. And I do agree. I think the story being told is a solid one as well. It has brought the new bit. Brought the New Day back to life.
I mean, you can't close the book on a guy after 3 weeks of television.
I'm closing it. It's closed.
It shouldn't be. I mean, we talked about it last week, but the guy has so much charisma. He's obviously incredibly strong. I don't know why you'd close it so early.
I just don't think, his look, like, I don't think they're going to have a world champ looking that way. I just don't.
I mean, there's plenty of guys. I mean, Mark Henry. I mean, he doesn't look
I think Mark Henry. I think it's worse. I think it's worse than Mark Henry, though.
It's a little bit. I mean, he's got a little more chub on him, but.
Yeah, I think. No, it's Mark Henry's better. Mark Henry's like. Mark Henry's totally fine as world heavyweight champion. I don't think, and also, you know, he acts like a kid. He acts like a kid. That's the other problem. Mark Henry didn't act like a kid. Mark Henry was like a dead serious enforcer, terrorizing the rest of the roster. Like, you know, the New Day is, when I think of a faction or wrestlers that are just like, oh, we made these guys. For the second graders who watched Raw, that's the New Day.
Mark Henry was that when he did win the world championship. But don't forget, He used to be sexual chocolate. You know,
that was so far removed, though.
Yeah.
But I get your point, though. You know, honestly, they could, yeah, you know, a few years down the road, he could have a darker turn. But I just also think the WWE is softer now, and I don't know if they ever make a move like that with Odyssey Jones.
Yeah, I mean, they might. I mean, listen, Mark Henry was having kids with Mae Young on television, you know. I don't think you can close the book on Odyssey Jones after 3 weeks because he's a little cartoonish. I think that's kind of what works for him right now.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, Bronson Reed is basically Mark Henry now. I think that's the most similar character to Mark Henry at the moment. That's not necessarily, I'm not really even trying to make a point about Odyssey Jones by saying that. It's just that thought popped in my head, so now I feel the need to say it.
I think the Hall of Pain version of Mark Henry, yes, I agree.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, Mark Henry had a 15-plus year career. That wasn't his whole career, as we just said. He was sexual chocolate at one point. Not that Odyssey Jones is anywhere near that, but you can have the cartoonish, the goofiness early in your career to help establish you and then later become who you become. But yeah, I mean, I don't hate the Bronson Reed to Mark Henry comparison. To me, Bronson Reed reminds me quite a bit of Bam Bam Bigelow. That's who he kind of, to me, that he's almost the modern day Bam Bam, but Mark Henry, I think, is a good comparison for him, too.
Yeah. And the sexual chocolate just, it slips my mind because that Mark Henry basically never existed to me. You know, I only started, when I started watching wrestling, Mark Henry was whooping on Batista and Rey Mysterio when they were feuding with Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like Eminem, Lena?
Melina.
What was her name? Melina, yeah, and Mark Henry.
Yep.
So that's what was going on. That was my introduction to Mark Henry, and that was basically the only Mark Henry I ever knew. So, but yeah, I mean, I think, you know, your point about Odyssey Jones is fair, about what he could, how his character could change. I would be so shocked if he ever won a world title. I'd be shocked.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it should be, especially... I mean, not that same thing. Dolph Ziggler started as a cheerleader. He was a cheerleader and became 2-time world heavyweight champion. I don't think you can close the book on some guys this quick.
A lot of big differences between Dolph Ziggler and Odyssey Jones. But
yeah, you're right. One guy could deadlift 700 pounds.
Yeah, one guy was the greatest wrestler to ever live.
Yeah, well, Odyssey Jones still early.
Yeah. All right. Last segment, Judgment Day. Finally going to get a match with Priest and Dom. I was really hoping, I mean, I know wishful thinking of me, but I was really hoping we would actually get the match for at least a little bit. Didn't expect it to end or anything with a 1-2-3, but yeah, don't get the match. Priest and Rhea put up a good fight, but ultimately can't win the numbers game. You like what this did for the match? I think it did an okay job. I don't think it was like a home run or anything, but it also wasn't a total dud like we've had with Orton and Gunther the past few weeks before last night and with you know, Cody and Owens and those matches. I thought it was still good.
Yeah, I think the Judgment Day has consistently been the best part of Raw. Even their worst segments are some of the best parts of Raw still. Yeah, this segment wasn't a home run, but it was still good. It was in the, I like the backstage stuff where they were showing Dom, the way Priest has talked to Dom over time, you know, leading to Dom feeling the way he does about Priest. Yeah, I was kind of expecting the bell to at least ring here, but I shouldn't have been. I should have known the Judgment Day was going to attack him.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish it would have. I wanted to see those two go on one for at least a couple of minutes. And they are really giving you the blue balls with Rhea and the, what's it, the Riptide?
Yep, right there.
Yeah, just putting Dom in that. I just want to see him get put through the, I mean, as much as I love Dom, I want to see him take one of those.
Actually, I'm glad the bell didn't ring because I hate they do this a lot with tag teams. Granted, this is a mixed tag match, but next weekend we're going to see them on the PLE. I don't need to see them in a one-on-one match now when next weekend they're in a tag match. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Especially since it's a mixed tag match, there would be even more, at least in a normal tag match. Any competitor can face any competitor on the opposing team. Mixed tag match, that can't really happen. So anytime Priest is in the ring, he's going to be wrestling Dom. So I'm okay holding off. Let them just wrestle then.
Right. Yeah, I don't really have a problem with it, but selfishly, it's like, you don't want to wait. But again, that's what makes the match better. So
Yeah, that's the point, yeah.
it's like it's just a the people don't know what they want sort of thing.
Yep. Would you be
Like I
more
think I
su
want it, but I really don't.
Yeah. Would you be more surprised if Dom pins Priest or if Liv pins Rhea again?
Probably if Dom pins Priest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I agree. Just because at least Liv did pin Rhea already. That's kind of it's possible. Dom pin and Priest seems a little far-fetched.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of building to do into like there's some development that needs to take place with Dom as an actual competent wrestler in kayfabe that needs to occur before he can go and do something like pinning Damian Priest.
Yeah, even
I
with
just
the
think that'd
help of
be
the
too big of
judges.
a jump. I mean, he's just last night he just almost got put through the announcer's table by a girl.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can go like 12 days later or whatever it is and have him pin the guy who was just world heavyweight champ.
No,
I
I
think that's too
agree.
big of a jump.
One thing that stuck out from this segment is when Dom goes to the top, he does like the Eddie Guerrero shake before the frog splash. Michael Cole says he's mocking the late great Eddie Guerrero. I don't know what the hell Michael Cole's talking about. His whole character is basically playing homage to Eddie. He's not mocking him.
I noticed that too. I took it as not that Michael Cole thinks he's intentionally mocking Eddie Guerrero, but that he's unintentionally mocking him just because he's like a slimy dirtbag, who Michael Cole hates. But I mean, Eddie Guerrero's whole character was being a slimy dirtbag.
Yeah, lie,
So
cheat, and steal.
yeah, it's like I don't know, just one of those things. The announcers. They're not perfect. They are not perfect.
Far
But
from it.
we do have reason for celebration, as this was Pat McAfee's final show for at least a couple. Michael Cole said a couple months. Hopefully a couple means more like 3 or 4 at the very least. Will be nice, to not have my ears bleeding throughout the entire episode. I mean, he tries to take over Raw. He just tries to take over the show
Yep.
constantly. I can't unsee it, unhear it. Yeah, I like right when I was getting so sick of him, he's leaving, so that's great. But I'm dreading his return.
I think he'll be back in January.
Okay.
I think they said he'll be back for Netflix, plus that's kind of when the college season ends. So I think
All
he'll be
right.
back then. But yeah, so I mean, we don't have him for the next 4 months, thankfully. I mean, this I can't believe they compiled a video package for him. I mean, that just to take a 4 month break and the video package just highlighted the shit I don't like about him anyways.
Yeah. They had him wishing Michael Cole a happy birthday in there. That was the funniest part to me.
Yeah, I mean, I hate McAfee on commentary. The point of commentators are obviously to enhance the story in the ring, not take away from it. And constantly, that's what he does. It's just he tries to put the spotlight on himself.
He tries to, he's so excited all the time that it works against the product in that it makes me want to be less excited about what's actually going on in the ring or whatever. Because I know like he's being way too excited, and I feel like I have to compensate for that by being like, okay, this isn't that exciting.
Yeah.
And it just puts me into like this depressed state.
Few years ago, commentator Mauro Ranallo used to be, he used to just, he was one of the most intense commentators. And, you know, he, after he left the WWE, he mentioned Vince had told him, not every match needs to be called like it's the main event of WrestleMania. You know, that was something that Vince harped on him. And not that McAfee's exactly doing that, but some matches don't need certain levels of energy that he brings. Now, I won't say it's all bad with McAfee because when he does the barking for Bron Breakker, I actually don't mind that.
All right, yeah, so we agree. We both hate McAfee. Glad to see him gone. Entering in a golden age of Monday Night Raw for the next 4 months. But yeah, that pretty much does it. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Tag Teamers Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to like, comment, subscribe, share, follow, whatever. We will be back no later than Thursday.
Yep.
With our review, recap of AEW Dynamite. Hopefully, something in between.